Hunter, The Conquest. The exhilarating new novel from best-selling author Stephen Kuntz. Read Saucer, The Conquest, and see why USA Today calls Stephen Kuntz a natural storyteller. Saucer, The Conquest, in paperback from St. Martin's Griffin.
The views expressed on Inside Scoop do not necessarily reflect those of the station owner, management, or staff of WAGE.
Good evening, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, where we bring you all the news from the nation's capital the government does not want you to know. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, and though I'm reporting from the Washington area, I am talking mostly this week about what's going on in New York City. New York City, of course, is the site of the Republican National Convention, and all this week we are devoting the program to the Republican National Convention. We watch so you don't have to. And in fact, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week, after the speeches are given, we're going to play the highlights along with my commentary and, of course, your calls. We always welcome your calls, your emails, your comment to the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. And tomorrow's show features a really funny group of a cappella singers, and they're going to sing songs like I Want to Be a Republican and W is Good for You. I'll be playing, in fact, a small snippet of what you're going to hear tomorrow at 3 p.m. and Eastern Time. But today we're going to focus in detail on all the many details that are mostly not being reported in a widespread way by the press. Sure, you can get them, most of these, on the back pages of the New York Times and the Washington Post. But with all the discussion of really the lies of the so-called Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, basically a front group for George W. Bush, with all that being in focus on the news, there's so many issues that have not been discussed. Things like the huge debt we're under. Things like your overtime going away. More Americans being in poverty. How George Bush is harming teachers. Specifics that I want to talk about Abu Ghraib prison. How the torture orders and the torture mentality came down from the very top. And, of course, there's a lot of convention news we need to discuss. Everything from the GOP platform and how even Robert Novak, conservative columnist, called it authoritarian, to Nader's campaign and all Republicans are doing. Well, Republicans are working very hard to put Ralph Nader on the ballot. They realize that their only hope of beating John Kerry is to get Nader there to take away votes from Nader for Bush. We're going to talk about the war on terror and how that's going, how we are releasing Yasser Hamdi from prison, even though George Bush put him in jail for life without trial, without access to a lawyer, and then has to admit, I guess, that he's innocent. I also want to talk about voting. Voting is very important, and I think it's very much a topic for the Republican National Convention to talk about GOP plans, Republican plans to stifle the black vote, plans to allow people in the military to email their votes in, the way that the Republicans want to make sure that fraud is allowable in the election, which is really pretty shocking, how they're using churches to help bring out voters and some lost votes in New Mexico. There's a lot we need to talk about. There's the moderate makeover in New York. There's Cheney's comments on gay rights. There's the Electoral College polls, how it looks. And then, of course, there are the ads. In addition to more coming out about the Swift Boat veterans being a front for the Bush administration, we also have Bush's ads on the Olympics that were protested both by the United States Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, and the Iraqi soccer team. So we've got a lot to discuss. And I guess I'd like to begin by talking about New York City, the place where the convention will be. And, of course, you are always, always welcome, encouraged to call in. Agree with me, disagree with me, challenge me. That's what this program is all about. One of the things we do here on the Inside Scoop is we don't restrict listeners to those that agree. I welcome, frankly, even more those that disagree because, as George Bush said to the terrorists, I say, bring it on. If you've got a comment, question, challenge, that's what democracy is all about. So if you want to bring it on, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-577-2667. Or if you're listening in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, parts of Maryland and West Virginia, all you have to do is dial locally, 703-777-1200. Also, Many of you know you can comment by simply going to the website, www.radioinsidescoop.com. Add a comment to the blog. That way other people can read your comments. I'll read some of them on air. Or you can send a comment to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. So there are all kinds of ways to participate in the show. I want to start by talking about New York City. The Republicans chose to have this convention in New York City to capitalize on the tragedy of September 11, 2001, where 3,000 Americans were murdered by terrorists, specifically by Al-Qaeda. 90% of those victims came from New York City, and the Bush campaign has made it quite clear that they believe they can get a political advantage by capitalizing on the tragedy, by reminding Americans of the tragedy that occurred, reminding them of the great unifying spirit that America had after September 11th, and they hope that they can use this tragedy, use this unifying spirit 3 years ago to get people to vote for George W. Bush. It's quite clear, their strategies in all their papers, they've admitted it's not really secret. And it's sort of an interesting idea that September 11th doesn't belong to American history or the American people or an American tragedy. It, in fact, is a Republican one. It is a partisan one. And despite the fact that, ironically, most of the September 11th families are very angry with the administration, both for failing to prevent September 11th, despite memos that George W. Bush got saying bin Laden determined to attack the United States, mentioning specific places like New York and Washington in these memos to him, he went on vacation and, in fact, has taken more vacation than any other post-war president. He took the whole month of August off despite the clearest warnings that we've ever had of an impending terrorist attack. So the victims aren't too happy about this, and neither are New Yorkers. Manhattan, of course, is an extremely liberal place. Manhattan, the island of Manhattan, New York City in general, is an area where people feel very free. It's a very open society, a very busy society, not the kind of society where they want government to control your private life. As we know, Republicans, though they're against regulation, they're against government stopping corporations from doing whatever they want to do, pollute or mistreat workers, they very much care about your private life. They very much want to control what you do at home, who you have sex with, what contraception you use, whether and what a woman does to her own body. These are all things that very much concern Republicans and very much are not a big thing that New Yorkers like. And so it will be very interesting to see the scale of protests. Now, at the Democratic National Convention in Boston, there were like a couple dozen protesters. Virtually no one came and protested. True, they had them in a bad site, a protester site that I condemned at the time. But really, no one came to protest. Very few people are angry at the Democrats, and that makes sense. We have a one-party government. The Republicans control each and every stage of government, the president, the House of Representatives, the Senate, the Supreme Court, most governorships. If you want to know why we're in large debt now, why we're in war now, why people are dying in Iraq, obviously the person to blame are the Republicans. They're the ones in charge. If you believe in separation of powers, if you believe that government is best when it's divided, as really the founders like to say, then obviously you're going to vote for the Democrats. So there weren't many protesters to the Democratic National Convention, just a few crazies there, supporters of the fanatic Lyndon LaRouche. But at the Republican National Convention, I expect a very large number of protests. Hundreds of thousands are expected. And they wanted to march in the public green of New York City, Central Park. That is the place where they march. Much as people march on the Mall in Washington, D.C., Central Park is the gathering place in New York. But the New York government, headed by Republican Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who, though fairly liberal in his policies, definitely is loyal to the Republican Party, said that they could not march in Central Park, that despite the fact that the Constitution guarantees free speech is not as important as the grass in Central Park. You see, they had just resodded Central Park, and they didn't want people to trample on the seedlings. And so free speech, the right to protest, the First Amendment, all of that clearly is secondary. It's a secondary American freedom. The freedom to have grass not have to be replanted is greater, according to Bloomberg and the Republican Party, than the right to protest. And so they denied the right to protest. They did give the protesters a very hot street in August, the West Side Highway. It's basically a bunch of pavement on the west side which where cars whiz by, which most New Yorkers can't see. And the best part about it is it bakes in the sun. It's very uncomfortable to protest on pavement in the heat. And people who are elderly or disabled or in wheelchairs or basically, you know, subject to heat stroke, or even people that burn easily, will have a hard time protesting there. So they want to make sure that if you want to protest, you have to bake, much like a fried egg. The protesters are not real happy about this. They've gone to court. They've lost in the courts. And they do say, though, they're going to be, they're going to follow the law. They're not going to officially protest Central Park. Unofficially, though, I expect they will go to Central Park, and I support that. I hope that every one of the 100,000 of protesters would go there. If I were there, I would go to Central Park, because there's something to be said for civil disobedience. It's a bad law when you're not allowed to protest because it will hurt the grass. And I would remind the Republicans and the Bush administration and those who try to prevent dissent that Martin Luther King had a court order preventing him from marching on Washington. And yet he practiced civil disobedience and gave us the greatest march for civil rights that the United States has ever seen. So I think it will be interesting to see, and I hope that the media focuses on the fact that really people aren't that mad at the Democrats, but people are very angry to the heart of their souls at the Republicans. And there should be as much of a story on what's going on outside the convention halls as what's going on inside. We will report on that, and hopefully the media will too. As I said, tomorrow is a special show with music from the Kinsey Six. I want to be a Republican. Tuesday is Election Tuesday. I'll be debating a Republican, Tom Robbins, on the convention, and we'll be talking about it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We have to go to a commercial break. When we come back, though, I want to talk about, oh, so many things. I want to talk about the right to vote and all that really the Republican Party is doing to try to prevent rights to vote. I want to talk about the ad campaigns. Sure, a little bit on Swift Boats. We got to mention it, even though we've mentioned it a lot. Talk about the Olympic ads, Ralph Nader, the Republican platform, the torture going on in Abu Ghraib, how that came from the very top. There's so many issues that I suspect will not be dealt with at the Republican National Convention, probably the most important of which is that you are going to lose your overtime. Republicans won't talk about that. But if you want to talk about that or any other issue, you're welcome to call in. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Or locally, 703-777-1200. This is Mark Levine, and we'll be right back after this.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part. So it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. A division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. for a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities. Visit our website at www.novak.com. Novak. I got the power to move ya.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from New York City this week. The government does not want you to know the background behind the Republican National Convention. We will watch it so you don't have to. I want to start by talking about the things that won't be at the convention. I can see that many of you have already begun commenting on the blog, and that's what we like. We like comment back and forth here on the Inside Scoop. If you want to call in, you're welcome to do so. It's a toll-free number, no charge, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Just dial in, or you can comment on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Got a comment here from Rick. Rick writes, GOP will be putting forward all their moderate members for the world to see. We know that the real power are the fanatical neocons behind the scenes. I just hope the rest of America will see through the misinformation. Well, Rick, you're right. They are putting forward moderate members. They're putting forward members that could never be allowed in the Republican Congress. People like Arnold Schwarzenegger, people like Rudolph Giuliani, people like Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York. These are people that are pro-choice and abortion, that believe in gun control, that believe that gay people should have equal rights to straight people. These are people that could never get their agenda passed through the Republican Congress, not even close. And yet they're putting forward all these members of their party that are local officials in liberal states that really very clearly do not represent the Republican Party. Now, of course, they did this 4 years ago where they put a number of African-Americans on the podium. In fact, there were more on the podium than in the audience because the audience was full of Republican delegates, the great, great majority of whom are white. But they will be doing this moderate makeover, and I think it's important to talk about the issues in their platform and issues that are not in their platform. Let's talk about some of the issues that are in their platform and how the Republican platform was done. One of the most interesting articles I read recently was by Robert Novak. Now, I'm not a big fan of the conservative columnist Robert Novak. He's extremely right-wing, and I don't appreciate most of what he has to say. But therefore, it's even more interesting when he condemns a process as authoritarian. And those are his words, not mine. Let me read some of Robert Novak's article about the Republican platform. He says that the 90-page document was given at 7 p.m. to the members of the committee on one night, and they were supposed to vote on it in the morning. In the 90 pages, the first 41 pages praise Bush. And the drafting of this political manifesto, this is a direct quote from Robert Novak, resembled the Manhattan Project developing the atomic bomb. Again, quoting Novak, quote, "The process fits the Bush White House's authoritarian aura, which has tempered enthusiasm in the party on the eve of its national convention." Now, when Robert Novak calls the Bush administration authoritarian, it's something to think about. It's something to think about. He points out the Bush White House completely abandoned the old platform process. Democrats went through a democratic procedure to create a platform, but Republicans have a platform handed down on high like the Ten Commandments. They cut in half the time even to consider the platform, and even the membership of the people determining the platform was kept secret. Several platform committee members expressed appreciation to Novak, he says, for exposing the dumbing down of the platform process. So what's in the platform? What are some of the things Republicans talk about? Well, they talk about all those social issues that they hope divide a wedge in America. They're not going to talk much about the huge national debt, the ending of overtime, record poverty, mistreatment of teachers. No, they're going to talk about how to amend the Constitution, because Republicans are not big fans of the Constitution as presently written. They don't like the fact that there's separation of church and state. They don't like the fact that the Supreme Court has said that a woman has a right to choose. They want constitutional amendments to stop this. They also want constitutional amendment to bar states from having the right to determine who can marry, mostly, of course, to keep gay people from marrying. It's interesting, there was actually one group, one small moderate group that tried to amend the platform to say Republicans of good faith may disagree on abortion and gay rights and some other issues. That was voted down. Apparently, Republicans of good faith may not disagree on these issues. On stem cell research, of course, they want to prohibit using stem cells any more than the Bush administration's current lines, even if it helps save lives. Again, protecting the biblical belief that a bunch of cells is life is more important than saving people who are alive, 10-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 70-year-olds. It's more important to save those cells. And in the platform, of course, and this is important to those of us living in the District of Columbia, there's absolutely no mention of any voting rights for people in the district. Outside the district, maybe some people don't realize the people in the District of Columbia are not represented in Congress. Not only do they not have a say over what goes on in the district, anything their mayor approves can be overturned by Congress, they don't even get a representative in Congress. And so, of course, D.C.'s electoral votes always go to the Democrats, and so the Republicans basically are saying, screw you, district. You don't vote for us, you don't get democracy. We don't believe in a democracy for Americans who don't vote for us. So that's what's not in the platform. What's not in the platform, of course, is the mention of the national debt, which went from a $5 trillion expectation of surplus under Bill Clinton to about a $5 trillion to $6 trillion deficit. I'm hoping that the Democrats will focus on this. The pundits will tell you that Americans can't understand the national debt. It's just a bunch of numbers and it's too confusing. And I would hope that Democrats would run an ad basically showing a credit card bill. And we used to have $5 trillion. We used to have $16,000 for every man, woman, and child. That was expected in the bank. So you got a family of four, that's $64,000 that you have in the bank from Bill Clinton. And George Bush spent that. And he spent all your Social Security money. You know, people my age are not going to get Social Security. George Bush spent, broke open Al Gore's lockbox, spent all Social Security. And now you've got a debt of more than $16,000 a person. And I would hope the Democrats will explain that. But clearly that's not something you're going to see, the Republican National Convention. And you definitely won't see the overtime provisions that just went into effect this week. Do you know about these? I mean, this is one of the most important things to happen in terms of workers' rights, in terms of your salary, in probably since the Great Depression, since the New Deal. If you make between $23,000 and $100,000 a year, you are very likely to lose your overtime. Did you know this? Did you know this is part of the Bush plan? Yes, if you work and you supervise anyone, let's say you're a cook at McDonald's and you oversee another cook at McDonald's. Let's say you're a secretary and you train another secretary for their job. Sorry, you don't get overtime. And they're taking away these rights which have existed back since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You won't see that in Republican National Convention. Nor will you see discussions of the record increase in poverty in America, or even simple little things that I think most Americans can get their hands around. Things like a Clinton-era provision that said that teachers who spend money on their own classes for school supplies. We all know that our schools do not have enough money to provide basic books and papers and school supplies to kids in many public schools across the nation. So a lot of teachers go out on their meager salaries and they buy it themselves. They buy papers and pencils and books. And they used to be able to get a tax credit of up to $2,500 for school supplies that they don't use, that they provide for their kids. Nope, that's going to go away too. Nope, can't fund teachers. We've got to fund Enron. Got to fund Halliburton instead. So these are things that you will not see in the Republican platform. You will still see these social issues. So again, I want to know what you think about this. Is this, are these good things? Do you support the Republicans? If so, why? Are you going to watch the convention? Are you going to participate in the protests? The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Call in or make a comment on the blog. And when we come back, I want to talk about the ad wars back and forth. I want to talk about the torture at Abu Ghraib and how we know it came from the top. And I think it's very important to talk about the GOP plans, the Republican plans, to stop or stifle, I should say, blacks from voting and to help the allowance for fraud. Pretty severe stuff. We'll be talking about it when I come back. 877-57-SCOOP, back after this.
Education, anytime, anywhere, with edanywhere.com. Edanywhere.com can help your student. We confront issues head-on with proven programs and methodologies. If your child has poor grades, reading, writing, or math difficulties, school attendance problems, a poor self-concept, or lack of motivation, EdAnywhere.com can help with tutoring in specific subject areas, remedial help in reading, writing, spelling, English, math, science, and social studies, GED test preparation, and accredited high school diploma programs. EdAnywhere.com provides a middle and high school curriculum that is delivered 24/7 on the Internet for self-paced, independent study. At-risk students in school systems nationwide have been enrolled with a success rate in excess of 85%. Register for classes now by calling 703-4ED-0805 or by downloading from www.edanywhere.com. Education, anytime, anywhere, with edanywhere.com. Committed to leaving no student behind.
America's best-dressed sandwich can be summed up by one word, Blimpy. And a mouth-watering, overstuffed Blimpy sub is just around the corner at Blimpy's newly remodeled new location on Catoctin Circle at the Amoco Station in Leesburg. Also next to the Government Center in Leesburg and on Sterling Boulevard. Stop by soon and try some delicious new wraps, including the Southwestern with turkey, bacon, and guacamole. The barbecue wrap, chicken Caesar, zesty Italian, beef and cheddar wrap, or the ultimate BLT wrap with capicola, cheddar, and bacon. And what makes a Blimpy sub so delicious? Start with a fresh baked roll, now available in your choice of honey wheat, sesame seed, poppy seed, zesty parmesan, white, and wheat. Stack it high with fresh meats and cheeses fixed to order with lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, peppers, and all your favorites. Plus, get a free 12-ounce coffee on Mondays. Stop by the new Blimpy's today on Catoctin Circle in Leesburg. And don't forget the other locations, next to the Government Center in Leesburg and on Sterling Boulevard. Blimpy's also has great employment opportunities.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop on Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news this week from New York City. We watch the convention, so you don't have to. We've talked about the protests. We've talked about the Republican platform, what's in it, what's not in it. And I think it's important to talk about the votes. After all, that is what's going to decide the election, or at least that's what should decide the election. I think it's fair to say that those of us who believe that America should be a democracy believe that the people should decide who is president of the United States. Unfortunately, the Republican Party is taking all kinds of action to try to really stop people from being able to vote for the person who they choose. And I want to go through detail after detail. You should know these details. And I would hope that everyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent, would together condemn these things and try to stop them. The biggest fight that's going on, and one that people who support democracy are losing, is the one over whether to protect the ballot from fraud. Now, ever since what happened in Florida, a number of states have gone to electronic voting. Electronic voting has certain advantages. It does things like prevent people from voting twice, and making sure people are voting for the person they think they are voting for. There were problems of people voting twice and so forth in Florida, and there were confusing ballots. Well, apparently the ballots are just as confusing as ever. In fact, even Teresa Laporte in West Palm Beach County has designed a new ballot that requires you to draw a line from one end to the other. And if you draw a circle or you draw an X instead of a line, well, your vote won't be counted. Apparently, she wants to make things as difficult as possible. Let me just say on behalf of all Americans, Teresa Laporte, I hope you lose your re-election as election supervisor of West Palm Beach County. If there's anyone who deserves to be fired, it's you, Teresa Laporte. But that's really a minor thing. The big battle that's going on, and I'll tell you, it's going on just across the river here in Maryland, is the battle to allow, or in Maryland's case, disallow, paper records of the votes. Here's how it works, folks. When you go into an electronic voting booth, okay, there used to be, and frankly, I remember these growing up in Tennessee, these old big mechanical voting booths. Maybe some of you know them, where you go in and you push the lever down, it makes an X, and then you pull the big lever to the right. Those actually can be monitored, because every time you pull that lever to the right, there's a click. And so if the votes aren't counted, people know. 1,000 people went in this voting booth, and if 900 weren't counted, you would know it. Well, the new electronic voting booths don't have that fail-safe protection. And what they could do, and indeed what Rush Holt, Democrat of New Jersey, has proposed they do, is simply print out a paper record, not one that the person can touch, but one the person can verify. So it would go behind glass, say, and if you vote for someone, the paper record types out, And it clicks, you know, vote for Bush or whatever, vote for Kerry. And you can check to make sure that that was your vote, and then it's hidden so the next person can't see your vote. Got to protect vote secrecy. And that way, the votes, at the end of the day, if there's any dispute, that paper record can be checked. Well, the Republicans across the nation do not want this paper record, which really all experts say is the best way to prevent fraud. And people have gone into Maryland's voting machines and within 5 minutes, leaving no trace, have changed the vote count. You don't like how Maryland's voting? You go in, you add a few 100,000 votes for Bush, and bingo, Bush wins this very Democratic state. Now, I have called in the past for extreme measures against vote fraud. And maybe you think I'm crazy, but I would have, well, one time I even called for a death penalty, but at least life imprisonment. If you try to change democracy in America, you try to and it obviously requires intent, not an accident, but if you intentionally stuff ballots, you intentionally add votes to help your person or subtract votes from the side you don't like, that, my friends, is an attack, as far as I'm concerned, on the United States of America. It is an attack on our freedoms. It is an attack on our democracy. I think there should be at least life imprisonment, if not the death penalty, for that kind of coup d'etat. That's the kind of thing that happened in Stalin's day, you know, or Saddam Hussein. It shouldn't happen in America. But what the Republican Party wants is does not want these fail-safe measures, like a paper record, that would prevent this kind of abuse. And in fact, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be inviting the Maryland Secretary of State's office to come and try to defend, because I don't understand their defense. It costs a few million dollars. To me, it's like, again, preventing the protests in Central Park in New York. It costs hundreds of millions of dollars to provide security for the Republican delegates in New York, but we can't spend $1 million, $500,000 to resod the grass to protect the right of dissent. It's the same kind of foolishness here with the ballots. If it costs a few hundred million to protect the American right to vote, that money's worth it. The problem with these electronic voting systems is that not only are they subject to incompetence, to simply messing up and not counting the vote right, which is awful, they're actually subject to deception. They're subject to manipulation. They're subject to people changing the vote. We found out that in New Mexico, a state that went for Gore by some 500 votes, we found out just this week that 203 votes were never counted. Never counted. Just weren't counted at all. My friends, that's serious. The whole legitimacy of our government, the question whether Bush is our president or not, whether he has the right to make laws, to sign laws, to tell me what to do, or whether I have the right to, you know, to not listen to the president, right? I mean, if he's not my president, then I have no obligation to follow him. The only way to determine who is rightful president of the United States is to allow the American people to vote and to vote with confidence. We need international observers now, frankly, unfortunately, from around the world to check on our votes. So if there's anything, again, I don't care whether you're Republican, Democratic, Independent, I have not heard a single person ever, to my face, justify not having protections against fraud in the ballots. And it's more than this. It's not just this, right? You have, for example, in Missouri, they're allowing the military to email ballots. There will not be a secret ballot. And if you think that electronic balloting is subject to fraud, think about how email can be subject to fraud. You know that spam? You know that spam that you can't prevent in your mailbox? Just think if they could change your vote by spam. Isn't that nice? Well, Missouri's a swing state. Very important state, a state that was leaning toward John Kerry. Now it may be leaning a bit toward Bush. It's very, very, very close. Looks like if you can just manipulate a few thousand military votes, you might swing the state. My friends, I would hope there are Republicans out there that if you want Bush to win, fine, but you don't want Bush to win by fraud. That you would hope that you would want your president to win fair and square in the democratic process. Or maybe Republicans just love fraud. I don't think it's true. I think it may be true for the Bush campaign, but I don't think it's true for the ordinary American. If you disagree, as I said, call in, toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We always appreciate your calls. But there's more than that. There's the fact that George Bush and the Bush campaign is rounding up churches. They're actually taking church membership lists and using churches to campaign. What's the problem with that? See, churches have a tax-exempt status. They're supposed to be neutral on issues of politics, and the Republicans are bringing them, getting them involved. And I say if a church is actively involved in supporting a candidate for president, then maybe they shouldn't get a tax-exempt status. There's even more serious things there going on with voting. And again, these are issues that I don't think are being talked about very much in the mainstream press. That's why we're bringing them out here on the Inside Scoop. And one of the main things that I find interesting is the Republican attempt to stifle the black vote, to actually try to keep blacks from voting. Now, we saw this happening in Florida in the year 2000, but we see that it's happening again. We see in Detroit, in fact, there was a memo talking about how it is that they're going to have to stifle the black vote. They said that, quote, if we do not suppress the Detroit black vote, unquote, this is a Republican state representative who said this, that the GOP will have a tough time if we do not suppress the Detroit vote. Detroit is 83% black. In Jefferson County, Kentucky, the local GOP plans to send poll watchers to Democratic, predominantly black precincts to challenge voters' eligibility. They want to go there and watch over voters, particularly blacks, and try to intimidate them into not voting. This is their plan, folks. This isn't a few, you know, crazy people outside. This is the local Republican Party in Jefferson County, Kentucky. In fact, in 2002, they had a similar plan. As their recruitment flyer put it, quote, we have to protect against potential fraud by, quote, the black militant division of the AFL-CIO and the NAACP. It seems to me, after all the fights we did for civil rights, again, even if you're a Republican, do you really want to win by preventing blacks from voting, by intimidating them? We know in 2002 in Maryland, there were anonymous flyers distributed in black neighborhoods in Baltimore, giving voters the wrong date for Election Day, and even telling them that they can't vote until they pay parking tickets, overdue rent, outstanding warrants. And yet, despite all of this, despite the allegations that Florida intimidated black voters in Orlando, despite the purge list that we've talked about on this program before, where Florida tried to purge its list of a lot of Democratic black voters, calling them felons when in fact they weren't, we know that black voters, this is a study by the Civil Rights Commission, the United States Civil Rights Commission in Florida, black voters were 10 times as likely as whites to have their ballots rejected, and that this trend is not just in Florida, but in other parts of the country. In fact, 4 to 6 million voters were disenfranchised in 2000, according to many studies. Now, there are only 100 million voters out there. That's 4 to 6%. That is quite a difference, clearly the difference that makes the election. I just don't understand how it is that, anyone can defend these kinds of things. And again, it's not something that's coming out in the mainstream press. That's why I'm giving it to you here on the Inside Scoop. If you want to call in, comment on this, your comments are always welcome. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
This is Ed from New York. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how do you like that convention in your hometown?
Well, I must tell you that today we had anywhere from 120,000 to 250,000 people walking throughout Manhattan Island.
Wow.
And during those, most of those people, I must admit, were from the New York metropolitan area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
However, what I noticed is we had a lot of out-of-towners came in, and a lot of them were carrying signs like, stop the war now, bring our troops home. And what really bothers me is the fact that the Republicans in their convention are putting sort of a false face on their convention. And by that I mean they're starting out with Rudy Giuliani and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And other liberal Republicans who really are frowned upon by the mainstream Republican groups.
Do you think that's going to fool people?
I think it may fool a few. I mean,
yeah.
if you do not know that Rudy Giuliani disagrees with about 85% of the Republican platform, which has been written secretly at night, as you described it and Mr. Novak described it,
yeah,
then you're going to believe that Mr. Giuliani's views are the views of the Republican Party and the views of George Bush, and that just is not so.
Ed, one last question, and as a user of Central Park, do you think it's more important to let the grass grow untrampled, or do you think it's more important to let the people have a right to dissent there?
I think the rights of grass are very insignificant.
I would think so. It's very hard to defend that.
But I must say that after the walk today, they allowed some of us to go up and relax on the grass in Central Park, and we were carrying our signs. They just wouldn't allow us to demonstrate there.
Well, I think that you'll see there'll be a huge rally in Central Park, and people will ignore that order, and as well they should. I definitely support civil disobedience in this case.
I may disagree with you,
really?
Mark.
All right.
I disagree with you because I think that if the Democrats have a very raucous demonstration outside of the Republican convention, it will reflect bad on the Democrats.
Really? I'll tell you, obviously it's not the Democratic Party doing this. These are a number of individuals. Most of them support the Democratic Party. But I don't think so. I think that if the Republican Party is shown to stifle dissent in this case, as they have in so many other cases, it's really just a good example, a metaphor, if you will, a paradigm for the kinds of things that they're trying to stifle dissent all over the place. I mean, Martin Luther King's March on Washington was not approved. And, again, the rights of grass really don't seem to me to be that important. And if people get arrested, well, that's obviously a choice that they have to make.
I agree with you that the rights of grass are unimportant, though other times smoking grass might be a different issue.
Yeah, well, okay.
All right. But, however, let's ignore the rights of grass. What really bothers me, though, is the fact that during the 60s, when the Democrats and their...
Well, the anti-war protesters. They weren't all Democrats. The anti-war protesters.
I think that hurt the Democratic Party back then.
Huh.
And I'm afraid it would hurt the Democratic Party and John Kerry in this very close election if we had outrageous protests during the Republican convention.
Well, I want to thank you for your call, Ed. I appreciate that. Well, you know, would it hurt the Democrats? I'm not sure. I'm not sure it would at all. First of all, of course, it's kind of wrong to talk about during the Vietnam War because in 1968, of course, there was a Democrat, President Lyndon Johnson, who was running the war. So it really wasn't so clearly split. Democrats, Republicans weren't clearly the party of liberals and conservatives that they are today. I don't know. I mean, sure, the demonstrators are violent. That looks bad. Absolutely. That's awful. But if they're just trying to peacefully protest in Central Park, even if they're violating a court order, I don't see how congregating in Central Park would make them look bad. But you know what? If you disagree, again, you're always welcome to call in. Agree or disagree, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We're going to take one more commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the ads that are going on, a little bit more about Swift Boat Veterans, the Nader campaign, Abu Ghraib, Najaf. There's still a lot to talk about. And then, in the last minute, I'm going to play for you just a little inkling of what you can expect tomorrow from the a cappella group that's going to appear on my show. And we'll play the song, I Want to Be a Republican. So you won't want to miss that coming right up in just a few minutes.
Dear God, I have so much to say to you, and this seems the only way to do it. Maybe you can check your email from heaven. You probably don't remember me, but my name is Stacy. I was behind you the other night, and I stopped when I saw the smoke. At first, I couldn't move, but then I found a strength I didn't know I had. I reached into the broken window, touched your wrist, and found a faint pulse. You weren't breathing. As I touched your neck, your head moved, and you gasped softly for air. Thank God, I thought. She's alive. There's a chance. I was holding her head in my hands and softly stroking her hair, and had a million things spinning in my head. God, she's just a young girl, I thought. You opened your eyes for merely moments. I'm here with you. I'm not leaving you. Help is on the way. Then your eyes closed. Come on, fight, I said. And I knew you were trying.
But Beth Hoime did not survive her encounter with a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Just a few minutes left here, but still, if you want to call in, the number is toll-free,
877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We've been talking about the issues that are not likely to be discussed at the Republican National Convention this week. I thought I'd get those out of the way so that when we get to the issues they do discuss, at least we'll know what they're not discussing. We talked a lot about economic issues. Here are the things they won't discuss about the war in Iraq. I'm sure there will be very little discussion of the report that just came out about the tortures in Abu Ghraib prison. Remember, when they first happened, the Bush administration said, you know what, these are people way down low. We're not going to prosecute Rumsfeld or the generals or anything. These are just a few soldiers run amok. And all the stuff they're doing wasn't authorized. Now we know from the report that not only was it authorized, but it was authorized from the very top. Yes, from the President of the United States. And in fact, the report details, and all you have to do is read the report, the Schlesinger report that came out from the Army, details. First, what happens, you have the President, and he's presented a memo that says that we, the United States, don't have to follow the Geneva Conventions against international torture. They just don't apply to Al-Qaeda. So the President signs them, and there's objections. The State Department and most lawyers are saying, hey, you know, we can't do this. It's against international law. It undermines United States military culture, which relies on strict adherence to law. The President overruled them and said, you know what? I want to allow torture. So I don't care about the Geneva Conventions. Then it explains how people in Guantanamo said, well, can we use specific counterinterrogation techniques? They went all the way up to Don Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, and he was challenged by military lawyers. And he said, well, the President signed the order. Yes, you can use these techniques. You can use things such as nudity, dogs, stress positions. Some of these stress positions have broken people's shoulders. And you can use all that. And I have to say, though, again, obviously there's a huge difference between what went on at Abu Ghraib and the Nazi prison camps. To me, the fact that they made all the prisoners strip nude to humiliate them, there are some similarities, I have to say. But this went right down from the top. It went from the President of the United States to Don Rumsfeld to Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, and he took it from Guantanamo Bay to Iraq. That made it even worse because in Iraq, 70 to 80% of the people are completely innocent, according to a Red Cross report. They're just people who look suspicious, and they did all kinds of things. We know about the sexual abuse. We know about the rape and basic things. You know, we talked about the things they approved, that using the dogs, the painful stress positions, nudity, but things just like, and this is a quote from the report, slapping, kicking, twisting the hands of a detainee who was handcuffed to cause pain, throwing balls at restrained internees, placing gloved hand over the nose and mouth of an internee to restrict breathing, poking at an internee's injured leg, and forcing an internee to stand while handcuffed in such a way as to dislocate his shoulder. Now, what we're learning is this, of course, was widespread. It was not just a few people. It turns out at least 50 we know were involved. And the Bush administration has said, we're not going to punish the people at the top. We're only going to punish the people at the bottom. And that is consistent with the way the Bush administration handles all its problems, always punishing people at the bottom, not the top. Another thing I don't expect you'll hear is the release of Yasser Hamdi. Again, George Bush said that his administration said the Bill of Rights, the United States Constitution, that say that if you're an American citizen and they throw you in jail, they have to charge you, they have to give you a trial, you have a right to have a lawyer to confront witnesses. All of that was thrown away with Yasser Hamdi, an American citizen who was captured in Afghanistan. They didn't give him any rights. Again, I say if he's guilty, try him, throw him away, you know, put him in prison. But they didn't try him. They didn't give him a lawyer. They kept him in prison for 3 years, and now, you know what, folks? They're going to release him. They're going to let him go. Now, obviously, there's only two possibilities here. Either Hamdi is guilty or he's innocent. If he's guilty, why are they letting this guilty person free? And if he's innocent, then that is just an admission, the fact that they're releasing him, that they put an innocent man in jail for 3 years without even allowing him the right to try to challenge his sentence. And it's a good thing that our courts are not as dictatorial as the Bush administration. We've got problems in Najaf. We have the real conflict, if you will, between democracy and theocracy. And I don't know how we're going to resolve this issue. I don't think it's going to be easy at all. You know that the siege in Najaf, the people who are killing Americans, fighting our soldiers, are going to live to fight again. They are basically granted amnesty by the government. The people that murdered the Americans at Fallujah will be able to run in the government. And yet, if we support democracy, what do? Well, one thing we can do is insist that they put these perpetrators in jail, but we can't do that.
because we're in this conflict between what the Iraqis want and what we want. And I don't know any way out of this, but I can tell you that the Bush Olympic ad that said Iraq is free, that's a lot of wishful thinking. Iraq is not free, at least not yet. The war continues. It's a mistake to believe the war is over or that the people are free. And I think we saw that in the Bush ads that cited the Olympics that were just done recently. And they said, oh, there's two freer nations, Iraq and Afghanistan. Interestingly, the people of Iraq and Afghanistan don't agree that they're free. Iraqi Olympians were very angry, including the famous Iraqi soccer team, condemned George Bush for the ad, said, as one of them said, quote, how will he, meaning Bush, meet his God, having slaughtered so many men and women? They were quoted as blaming the president for the destruction of their homeland. Now, whether they're right or wrong, it's clear that Iraqis do not appreciate us there. Less than 2% consider us liberators. And so, and maybe they're, you know, maybe they should. Maybe they should. But for whatever reason, this war was so botched by the administration, they don't appreciate it. And we've got a real problem. And the war in Iraq is not over. These countries aren't free. And, of course, the Bush ad, which uses the word Olympics, is against the law. It's against the law of Congress that says Olympics are only to be used for the Olympics, for sporting events. This, in fact, has stopped other groups from using the Olympic name before. And the United States Olympic Committee and the International Olympic Committee told Bush to pull the ad formally. He refuses to do so, to follow the law. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised. On the Nader front, Ralph Nader was formally nominated by the Reform Party just this week. That, of course, is the party of Pat Buchanan. You might think Ralph Nader and Pat Buchanan have little in common, but it's very clear that Nader's doing all he can just to get on the ballot. Republicans are working overtime here in Virginia. The Republican Attorney General overruled the Elections Commission, which said that Nader could not get on the ballot because he didn't follow the rules. And in Michigan, you have Republicans signing petitions. These are supporters of Bush, people in the Bush campaign going around getting people to put Nader on the ballot. Nader is not unhappy to have Republican support. In fact, he welcomes Republican support and money, and even by people who are doing it purposely, as Republicans admit, to elect George W. Bush. In fact, they say it when they call people. They announce, hey, you want to give money to help put Nader on the ballot? This is a great way to defeat John Kerry and elect George W. Bush. They call the Republican donors. It's interesting that who's Ralph Nader nominated by? The national chairman of the Reform Party is a guy named Sean O'Hara. Sean O'Hara has some interesting views. We don't have time to go into all of them. One of the most interesting is that he believes that anyone who has an abortion should get the death penalty. Pretty extreme and pretty surprising for anyone on the left who used to think that they might like Ralph Nader. Well, there's a lot to talk about in the Swift Boat ads, but I've talked about that before, so I won't go into much detail on it. If you want to call in this week during my show, you're always welcome to do that, and we can talk about it. I'll just mention the one new thing that came out this week, and that is that the ads were circulated apparently among a whole group of Republicans, including staffers on the Armed Services Committee, weeks before they were ever put on the website. In fact, the staffers said we got it from the website. There's a problem. The email predates it. So there's a lot of Bush support, a lot of Republican support. It's very clear that they are a front for these ads. I want to, before we go, I do want to play a little bit of music from tomorrow's show. Tomorrow at 3 p.m., we're going to hear from the Kinsey Six. This is an a cappella band, and they sing many, many songs about the election. Their most famous is this one, I Want to Be a Republican.
I wanna be a Republican. I'm tired of doing what I should. Wanna do what I can. Grab as much as I can. Keep it all for me. Cause life is a party, and the grand old party is a party where I wanna be.
Lower taxes are God's plan. Global warming helps my tan. Give a gun to every man to protect us from malarians. When you know you're better than all those non-Americans, there's no need to join the Klan. Just become Republican.
We got a taste of them. And you can hear them on tomorrow's show at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Just go to www.radioinsidescoop.com, wherever you are, and click Listen Live, and you'll be able to hear the Kinsey Six live. We'll be interviewing them, and you'll be able to call in the show. That's it for the Inside Scoop. I want to close by something that John Kerry said many years ago. Don't love your country right or wrong. That's like loving your mother, drunk or sober. Love your country when it's right. And when it's wrong, put it right. This is Mark Levine signing off.
AM 1200 WAGE, Leesburg and Loudoun County, is your sound choice for news.
CNN Radio News, I'm Cheryl Castro. New York police arrest about 200 protesters on the eve of the Republican National Convention.
Most of the arrests were for disorderly conduct and occurred away from the march itself.
Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly. 9 were for felony assaults of police officers. Tens of thousands of protesters, many of them opposed to the war in Iraq, marched past Madison Square Garden today, the site of the GOP convention.
Stop the lying. Treat us like adults, not like children, and get us the hell out of Iraq.
President Bush is scheduled to address the convention in New York on Thursday. Dana Bash has this preview.
On the domestic front, you're going to hear him talking about some new initiatives. Now, the campaign says not to look for any world-rocking new initiatives on the domestic front, but he will talk about health care, he will talk about retirement, and he will talk about things that he can expand upon coming out of the convention to talk about moving forward.
President Bush made campaign stops in West Virginia today while Senator John Kerry stumped in Nantucket. South Carolina is under a state of emergency after Tropical Storm Gaston made landfall. But Hugh Cobb with the National Hurricane Center says the storm appears to be weakening.
It is a minimal tropical storm with winds of 40 miles an hour. And it's moving to the north at 8 miles an hour. However, we expect that to turn more toward the northeast.
Gaston is expected to be downgraded to a tropical depression. A car bomb explosion killed at least 10 people and destroyed a building in downtown Kabul. The blast appears to have targeted a U.S.-based company providing security for Afghan President Hamid Karzai.